I appreciate your church and you people. Something I have found out very early, just this morning meeting you, that y'all are just down home folks. And I appreciate that. Y'all are my kind of people. And I was born in Augusta, Georgia. My name is Dan Mosley. And I was born in Augusta, Georgia. And grew up across the Savannah River in South Carolina. And all of my family are still in Aiken County. Everyone there. And I currently live at the foothills of the mountains in North Carolina, western North Carolina there. And I got a call from Jackie and Sean Fosse. I'm sure you all know who they are. And it's kind of interesting to ride around with this brother here last night and see the Fosse name on road signs and stuff. And there's a real history here. And I thank Brother Stallings for his hospitality. I know somebody offered to cook dinner, and I told Jack, I said, look, I don't want to burden anybody. You know, I don't want anybody to have to go through a bunch. Whoever that was offered to, I thank you for that. I believe God will bless you regardless of whether you actually cooked the meal or you were willing to. Amen. And I appreciate that. And I was just going to kind of do my own thing, and then ran into this brother called me, and we ended up going to get a bite and fellowshipping a little bit. And so just very briefly, my background. I was influenced a lot growing up. My preacher and Lester Roloff were good friends. Anybody knows who Lester Roloff is? That's one of the greatest that ever was, in my opinion. And of course, died years ago in a plane crash. And I was heavily influenced by evangelist Tim Lee. I don't know if he's ever been here. If y'all know who he is, anybody know Brother Tim Lee? Tim Lee, evangelist Tim Lee, the Marine, lost both of his legs in Vietnam. He's an evangelist. He's out of Texas. And if you've never heard Brother Tim Lee, he's still preaching. This many years after Vietnam, he stepped on a landmine while in Vietnam, and a 60-pound box mine took both of his legs. And he had set state track records in, I think, the state of Illinois. And I think his dad was a preacher, and he was called to preach. And when he got to Vietnam, he just said he couldn't do it. And he was running from God. And God had a way of catching up with him. And took both of his legs. And the guy's been a blessing all my life. I've kept up with him, followed him. And he's still preaching. He's having little health problems, as we all do as we get older. But I thank God for Brother Tim Lee. And I go to Larry Brown's church in North Augusta. Anybody ever heard of Larry Brown? He's done some evangelism. Larry Brown's pastored that church about 50 years and done a great work there, and just recently stepped down. He's in his final stages of Parkinson's. And pastored that church, built a 2,500-seat auditorium there in North Augusta, and just God's done a great work and used him in a marvelous way. You can go, I'm sure, on YouTube and pull up Larry Brown. Now, there's a lot of Larry Brown, so you got to be careful which one you pull up. You know, you might get somebody, some Yahoo somewhere. But the Larry Brown I'm talking about is from Victory Baptist Church in North Augusta. And I did graduate from Bob Jones University years ago, the first time with a bachelor's in counseling, and then got my license to preach in Pensacola the second time around. And just glad to be here and glad to be able to do something for the Lord. I realize this is a tough day for y'all. It's different. It's not going to be the same. And I was reluctant when I got the phone call to try to follow up a 20-year man. And who's polished and his car's been racing around the track all these years, and to try to come in on the tail end of that was a little bit of an intimidating task. But I'm glad that the Lord put that verse in the Bible. I'm sure partly for me, Well, the Bible says she hath done what she could. And sometimes you got to do what you can. I had an opportunity to preach, and I don't think I could have lived with myself had I turned it down. God gave me the opportunity to preach. I need to come preach. And I'm glad I'm here. I've enjoyed it. And I can't thank you enough again for your just being real and hospitable. And but just pray for me today as I try to bring you the message. And I don't want to embarrass the Lord. I just want him to be glorified in what we do here today. This ain't just a social club. I mean, we're here to get something. And so I want to, without saying anything else, I want to, amen, brother. If it gets bad, I'm going to ask for the other bottle. No, thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Let's go ahead and turn to the book of John. I'm going to just give you a minute to start turning where we're going this morning. The book of John, Big John. There's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Those are the little Johns. This is the gospel of John. And before we go ahead and preach, we're going to pray. And just ask the Lord to show up. And listen, church, regardless of what happens in the future, you guys are grounded on the King James Bible. And if I'm going to tell you what's going to make your church go on, and you'll just be fine if the Lord keeps showing up. And if he keeps showing up, you're going to be okay. Stay with this book. I think you're grounded enough. I've heard enough of you talk that ain't nobody going to come in and hoodoo you with another book. And we talked about that this morning a little bit. Thank you for being here. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord and Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here with these people. I'm asking that you would visit us this morning, be with us. Lord, if you don't show up, then I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting these people's time. So I'm asking that you would give me the words to say. I would ask that I would say everything that I should and nothing that I shouldn't. Work in the hearts of these people as their hearts are, I'm sure, a little heavy. I can't take the place of their pastor. And there's no way I can do that. But Lord, I hope to give them something out of your book that'll maybe give them a little strength, a little help, a little encouragement. And I'm asking for your help to do that. I'm asking you to do that. God, I pray for our country right now. We're in a mess. And I ask you to just be with our leaders. And I ask you just confound the minds of those who would seek to destroy our country. You confuse them. And God, just be with our president as he's, I'm sure, got the weight of the world on his shoulders. Lord, if there's one today, this is a seasoned church, but sometimes there could be people that never got saved. And Lord, if there's one here today that's never been saved, Lord, I ask that you just work in their heart, speak to them. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. And just be with us during this time. And for anything that's done here today, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of John, there's a passage that Jesus is giving what they call the great discourse on the bread of life. He's talking about he's the bread of life. And then he gets into something a little bit tougher, and he begins to make some phrases that the people who were listening to him didn't understand. And we're going to start reading in verse number 59. We're going to skip a few, and then we'll get to our main text here. But Jesus has just made the statement that whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Now, when he said this, the bunch that was listening to him went nuts. They went crazy. They didn't understand what he was saying. What he had just done in the previous verses before chapter 6, verse 59, and those previous verses right before that, is he had just given a, spiritually speaking, metaphorically, figuratively, He had just given a spiritual analogy about eating his body and eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And there was a lot of people there that didn't understand. Verse number 59, we'll start, we'll read a couple of verses, and then we'll get to our main text. "These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught at Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?' Then Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. And he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you?'" Now let's skip down a few verses. Verse number 63, just for time's sake this morning. "It is the spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So he's giving them some clues that what he just said wasn't the literal eating of his flesh and blood, which, by the way, the Catholics have looked at this passage and they can't get it right either. So they think every Saturday night that you go get a cookie and a little bit of juice, okay, and they think that actually becomes the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says he was crucified once, one time for all. Not every Saturday night at the Mass, but one time. And so it says here that he said, the words that I speak unto you, verse 63, they are spirit and they are life. And some of you believe not, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Verse 66 is our main text today. And it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I'm not going to go back and unravel the verses before verse 59 that they were confused about. But he was talking about being the bread of life. And again, I'm not going to dig too deep into that for time's sake this morning. But I simply want to say that he said something that they didn't understand. And I want you to, I mean, what a sad commentary. The verse 66 says that from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, I want you to imagine, this is the same bunch that saw the miracles that he had done in the previous chapters and verses. And I'm looking for my piece of paper here and some of my notes. And many of these people had maybe they were at the marriage in Cana, where he turned water to wine. There at Jerusalem at the Passover, that said that many believed when they saw his miracles. Okay, maybe there were some of this bunch right here that had witnessed that. There was the Samaritan woman where he met her at the well. And, of course, he has a conversation with her. Won't get into that as far as the details. But she goes around town and says, hey, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. He's told me everything. Now, that's some kind of a man that knows everything you've ever done. And then there was the nobleman's sick son at Capernaum. Maybe somebody heard about it. Maybe it got around town. Maybe they witnessed it. I don't know. But there were many, I'm sure, that either heard or saw a lot of these miracles. There was a fellow at the pool at Jerusalem who had a 38-year infirmity. You remember when God moved the waters? And he said, I ain't got no man that can put me into the water. He'd been there for 38 years. I'm sure they had heard of that. I'm sure they knew about it. There was a great multitude that followed him. It says in verse number, chapter number 6, it says, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. He was healing people. Listen, he was doing things that no one else could do. Surely this was God on earth, and they were getting to witness his great miracles. You know about the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fishes. Maybe some of these people who were with him right here, okay, just previous to verse 66, who actually were part of the people and the 5,000 that Jesus fed, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's quite a feat, man. That's impressive. I mean, how could you witness that and then turn away? How could you do that? And then, of course, you know, Jesus walks on the sea earlier in this chapter. And so what a sad commentary. And listen, there's going to be times in your life, just like when they heard his words, they didn't understand them. And he asked, it's funny he should ask this question. He said, are you offended? You know, we live in a day where everything offends everybody. You know what the Bible says? He says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 165, I think. Or I'm sorry, 119, I believe it is. So, you know, there's many times in life that you're not going to understand stuff. Any of you ever read the Bible and you didn't understand something you were reading? Like all the time, right? Okay. Do you know what that means? If you understood everything in the Bible, what that means is somebody no smarter than you wrote it. Don't you think about that one more time. I'll say it again. If you understood everything in the Bible, that means somebody no smarter than you wrote it. So you're not going to understand it all. You're not going to understand a lot of things that happen in life. Boy, I bet I could park here a while. I bet I could start right here and here and go over here and here. I bet every single person in here has got stories of people. Things happen. You don't understand it. There's a divorce. There's bad news. There's a doctor's report. Whew. I could get hung up on that. I remember years ago, my mom got sick. Might not stay here too long. I'll be in a mess for sure. But she got sick. I was 20, 21 years old. She's 38 years old. And she fought cancer for a number of years. And eventually thought we'd had it whooped about 5 years. And came back. And eventually she went home to be with the Lord. And life changed. Changes forever. You say, explain that to me. I can't. Y'all watch TV lately? I don't watch much. Have you ever seen the news? Y'all see what's going on in the world? You know what my mind says? Why not one of them? Why my mom? Why? God-fearing woman goes to church, reads her Bible, helps. When they have funerals, she does the food. Why her? That don't make sense to me, man. That don't make sense. The only answer I've ever gotten, well, a couple, but one in particular, my pastor's wife years ago told me, she said, your mother was ready to go. There's a lot of other people that ain't. But see, there's things in life, and you got to be careful that you don't hinge your continued walk with the Lord on being able to understand everything. If you hinge your walk with the Lord on being able to understand everything, you're going to do like verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. I bet I probably could go up and down these pews and have conversations with you. Probably everybody in here knows somebody used to come to church. Something happened. Divorce, a wreck, somebody, you know, something happened in their life. They can't figure it out. And they got discouraged and they're no longer in. It happens. It happens. And so I want to challenge you, church, to stay in there. And by the way, the same bunch that walked away, they'd seen all his miracles and everything. You know what they could have said? Lord, could you explain that a little more? Could you tell us more about what you just said? We didn't get it. They could have done that, but they just got mad. They got mad, they left, and they walked away after seeing all the miracles he had done. Wow. How do you do that? How in the world do you do that? So I want to challenge you, church, that you're going to be all right. The Lord lets things happen. The Bible says that sometimes you're not going to know on this side of our life. And the Bible says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Doesn't it say that? There's some things you're not going to know until you get to the other side. So don't base your walk with the Lord on the ability to be able to understand everything you read in the Bible, or understand everything going on around you in life. Because there's a lot of craziness going on. We were talking about this last night. The one verse that I couldn't understand as a teenager growing up And I don't necessarily think it was a verse that would knock me out, but it didn't make any sense. It made no sense at all. And it was a verse in the Old Testament. And I'd read that thing and I'd just kind of like, that don't make a lick of sense. You know which verse it was? You'll understand as soon as I say it. It said, "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil." I thought, evil, good, how do you, everybody knows what evil is. Everybody knows what good, how could you call evil good and good evil? I mean, what? I understand that verse right now. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Everything we're for right now, they're against out in this world. Everything we're against, they're for. Evil, good, and good, evil. And God, listen, sometimes God, it takes years down the road for you to understand some things. But if you stay in there and you don't bail out, then guess what? God's going to show you. Sometimes with some spiritual maturity, studying, preaching, sometimes God will go, and you'll go, oh yeah, man, that, wow. But you hung in there long enough for God to reveal the answer. And if he doesn't reveal the answer here again, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, and we'll understand more on the other side. The Bible says right now we see through a glass darkly. Don't understand everything. So, verse number 67. I like this right here. The Lord asked a very important question. He looks at those guys and he says, will you also go away? Hey, boys, y'all leaving too? Are y'all mad? Are y'all offended? Something y'all don't understand? You're frustrated? Y'all don't understand what I just said? That's a good question. I want you to notice that there's just usually, and this is the way it is in life, there's just a small group of people that follows the Lord that'll hang in there, that'll stick in there. Now, I think we got them in this room right here. You people are good people. Now, I don't mean, I ain't trying to shower you or nothing or blow smoke up your dress. I don't know if I ought to tell you that, give that analogy or not. But you know what I'm talking about. I think you're God-honoring people that love the Lord. And so verse 67. Now, here's the good part right here. And I'm getting ready to give you about seven things once I lay the groundwork here. And we're going to talk about some practical things that you get if you walk with the Lord. Verse number 68, Simon Peter, who usually is the spokesperson for the group, he's the loud one. He's the one that tried to chop that guy's ear off. And of course, I don't think he was aiming at his ear. I think he tried to chop his head off. Okay, so, but Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Now, that's a question right there. Where else you going to go, man? And it says here that thou hast the words of eternal life. Brother, somebody that got the words of eternal life, you better hang in there with them. That's somebody who knows something. 69, it says, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can I be honest with you today? A lot of you have been saved for years. But you probably could go back to a time in your life when you weren't. Remember them days? No hope, no peace, no happiness. You know what the world turns to? All kinds of stuff. And you know what I found out? If you reject, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you reject the truth, all that's left are lies. That's it. Some people, Catholicism is a big thing in our country. Everybody wants, you know, when the Pope, they're always ranting and raving when he rides around in his little cart or whatever. They believe that when the Pope speaks, it's like God speaking. And you know what he is? He's a low-down sinner and rotten sinner just like me and you. Go to a confession booth. The Bible don't tell you to go to no confession booth and look in some peephole. Some guy on the other side. He don't tell you to do that. Catholics got everything wrong. Praying to Mary. Hail Mary, Mother of God, the Lord's with thee. And that little lady on TV that does some beads and stuff. In darkness, man. False. They got everything. Infant baptism, they got that wrong. And those popes, the last couple of popes I've seen, they look too poop to pope. Yeah. That rough looking man. Sorry about that. So, that's religion, people. And people got a lot of other false religions that they adhere to. Islam is the largest religion in the world. And that guy was a warmonger and just a hellion, a demon-possessed. He wrote the Quran. He couldn't read or write. He was illiterate. It said he saw a 600-winged angel, and he got somebody to ascribe the words. And by the way, in the Quran, there's absolutely zero prophecy that wasn't taken out of a Bible, which was already in existence 900 years earlier. There's nothing in that Quran. I mean, it's... you ever talk to a Muslim, you know, talk about their God, and say, sing me a song about him. They don't have no songs about their God. False religion. A lot of people turn to that. Buddha and hey, you remember those days before you got saved? He was in a bar, people sitting over a beer, thinking about their life, trying to figure out the meaning, trying to figure out where to go next, what's the meaning of life, how am I going to do this, how am I going to... No hope, no peace, no nothing. That's what they turn to. Listen, there's nothing to go back to. I was in mental health for a number of years. I've worked for about 6 different agencies. And the thing they don't like is people like us. Okay? I'll just be honest. They don't like Christianity in state-funded mental health. Anybody in the mental health field? By chance? Okay. So their answer, some people looking at others, you got mental health problems. You right there, buddy. Pointing them out, man. I can see who's got it and who don't. But a lot of people turn to that. I was in all kind of agencies. I stayed in the office. Did you mention God? Well, yes, I did. They brought it up. By the way, they can bring up anything they want to talk about. And you're supposed to go along with it unless it's God. I said they wanted to talk about it. They had some questions. You can't talk to them about that. I said, well, they asked me some questions I knew the answer to. Well, you got to refer them to a minister in town. I said, I got credentials. I am one. Why do I need to refer them in town when I know the answer right in front of them? Oh, that's not your job. See, I know how it works, people. One of the biggest scams ever, by the way. It's a cash cow. There's a hospital near where I live called Broughton Hospital. And I probably could go in there and clean the joint out in about 6 months. I don't want it cleaned out. Every one of them people in that hospital is a cash cow. I get a check for every one of those folks. If they're fixed, they ain't there. Okay? So, but modern psychology, a lot of people turn to psychology. They think psychology has answers. I can tell you right now, every once in a while, there'll be a Christian somewhere in there that you'll meet and run into, but you kind of got to keep it hush-hush. They don't want you to say God. They don't want you to say Bible. They don't want you to say church. They don't want you to say any of that. It's a godless outfit. Now, I'll tell you what they know how to do. They know how to write a note to Raleigh and get paid. Because you spent time with so-and-so, you got a big piece of paper right there with a bunch of flowery words you put in while you do your notes. So it sounds like you're doing something. You ain't doing nothing. I'll give you a quick example. I didn't put this in my message, and I'm really rushed for time here. But I'll give you an example, mental health. Clinician, that would be me, right? Took client to therapeutic community-based activity. Well, we're doing something, ain't we? We really after it. Watch the word. Therapeutic community-based activity. Clinician and client gave and received positive reinforcement from peers. Wow, isn't that nice? And that just sound great. Let me stop to the chase. You know what we did? We walked around the mall for an hour. That's what we did. We walked around the track. That's what we did. But I put therapeutic community-based activity, giving and receiving, a bunch of mumbo jumbo. It's a farce, man. It's a money racket. Quite frankly, we got the answer. I've had a double suicide attempt saved. I've had some other people saved, and it lasts about as long until they figure out who I am and what I do. That's about how long it lasts when I'm at those agencies. So I'm not saying there's not some help. By the way, a psychologist is a paid friend. A paid friend. And sometimes you get help from people, and I'm not knocking everybody in that industry, but I've been with six agencies. I know how it runs. I know, for the most part, how it works. Every once in a while, you got a Christian person in there who gets a good influence in on people coming in. But you know what their objective is? Give you a diagnosis. Give you a diagnosis so they can give you a pill. In most cases, they don't want you fixed. They want you to remain a customer the rest of your life. Oh, that pill didn't work? Well, you had nightmares. Let me give you another pill. Okay? Let me give you this pill. That didn't work? Here, let's try this pill. Just kind of guessing at it. Okay? A lot of the world, that's where they're turning to right now. And I'm telling you, they don't have the answers. We've got it. See, I know what they know, and then I know what they don't know. And what they don't know and what I know is superior to what they think they know. That makes sense? Y'all get all that? So, people turn to drugs. I don't know where your drugs are in the state of Alabama, but I can tell you in North Carolina where they are. I can take you to that county right there, that county right there. People turn to drugs. People call a 900 number. Dial 900 psychic. Gonna tell you your future. Gonna tell you all about it. Gonna tell you what's gonna happen. And people spend money on that. Remember what I said earlier? When you reject the truth, all that's left. All that stuff everything I just went through on this list right here, all of it lies. That's what the world's going with. So, let's move along. I got some practical things I want to share with you real quick. Let's just fly. I got to fly. I'm going to give you about seven things, try to very quickly, that you get when you're walking with Him. And, like a lot of preachers do, I've got some words here that they all begin with the letter S, okay? And first thing I think you ought to walk with the Lord, and He can help you if you're walking with Him, is in your sickness. Now, I put parentheses health, okay? Now, let me ask you a question. We go to the Bible for everything else. We go to the Bible for our salvation. We go to it to know how to live and how to be good parents and things such as that. Why not go to it about our health? Couple of things real quick. I'll just read the verse. You don't have to turn there. By the way, when you go to a doctor, my mother, God bless her, she had a little knowledge. I wish I knew now or then what I know now. I think I could have been a bigger help to her. But see, when you go to town and go to a doctor, what do you go to? What do they call themselves? A practicing physician. Ain't that what they say? Guess who they're practicing on? You. Does practicing mean they got it down? No. They figured it, we'll try this, we'll try that. They're trying to figure it out. They don't really have it down. So all I'm proposing today, I'm not going to wave a wand over and everybody's going to be healed and that kind of stuff. What I'm proposing today is go to your Bible just like you go to it for everything else. You know, in 1 John 5:7, it says these three bear record in heaven. The Father, watch this, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. God allowed the Word to be substituted for the second person in the Trinity in that verse. These three bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So if that's like Jesus being with you, okay? You know how you walk with the Lord? You walk with this. You stay in this. Can I tell you what happens? Because I know. I know exactly what happens. You get up, you run late for work. I got to get to work. And then you come home, the grass needs cut. I got to feed the chickens. I got to run down. I got to go to Lowe's. I need to get some PVC to work on that thing. You know what happens in your life? You get busy. And then you go to bed that night and you didn't look at it. And you watch the news, and the kids need help with homework. You get busy. And this book says there's things that'll choke it out. And that's what it does. And you go a day. Then next day you're busy too. Oh, well, I got the party I got to get ready for, and I got to go help my neighbor. I got to work overtime today. And you didn't read that day either. and then the third day, fourth day, fifth day, a week, a month, a year. And you think, man, I ain't read this in ages. But it's got the truth that you need on a daily basis. And when you fall out of your Bible reading, you're missing things that God's would use that day to help you somewhere in your life. Now, I'm going to go to this verse right here real quick. Genesis 1:29, and God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed." Listen to this. "To you it shall be for meat, food." I'm not going to preach you got to eat green pine cones and all kinds of stuff and craziness. I'm not a vegetarian, am I? Okay. I love barbecue. But you know what my preacher said growing up? God put man in a garden, not a smokehouse. Okay? Amen? I love the smokehouse pretty good. I'm not a vegetarian. But listen, there's things you can do in addition to your doctor to help yourself out. I'm going to give you a couple of them real quick, and I'm going to move on to the next point. Here's one of the tips of the day. Apricot seeds. Anybody ever heard of apricot seeds? They got B17 in them. B17 is a cancer killer. It goes looking for cancer cells to whoop up on. I'll tell you what else. Get done eating that apple. What do you always do? You throw the core away. Got them little seeds in there. You don't want to eat that. Well, actually, you do want to eat that. Go ahead and gnaw a few of them up. Don't taste as good as the apple. And I think I've got this right, but I think it has a small amount of arsenic, but it's not enough to hurt you, but it's enough to go looking for cancer cells. You know, God put that here for us to eat, to help ourselves out. And that verse right there, God says, "Hey, I put you in a garden. I've given you every tree of the land, seed-bearing fruit. I've given you those things for meat, which is food." Food. I got a book right here. I'm not going to get into it. I'm just simply going to show it to you. This is called The Food Pharmacy. Dramatic new evidence that, not meds, not a pill, food is your best medicine. Some of you could help yourself out today by going back to the book and say, "All right, Lord, what's in here that you said was good to eat? I'm going to try to do a little more of it." I'm not saying go crazy. I'm not saying go on a fast and don't eat no meat or no whatever. I mean, I still love going to see the Colonel. I like him. It's good stuff, isn't it? Amen. Original, right? I don't like the extra crispy. I like the original. That's how you know you're called to preach anyway, by the way. You get up one morning, you don't want to go to work, and you're craving fried chicken. So apricot seeds. It's a cancer killer. Now, here's a book. Garlic, Vinegar, and Honey. Honey is very good. That's a Bible thing there. Here's another one called The Maker's Diet. Jordan Rubin. Listen, do your part is what I'm saying. Do your part. The same Bible tells you how to get saved, tells you how to stay healthy. You see, it's like, I bet you there's some mechanics in this room. And I bet you know how to fix a lot of stuff. And I bet you if I set you down in front of an engine, and I said, "All right, go to it, man. You got it. Let's knock it out." They ain't give you no tools. You say, I need some tools. Well, can't you fix it? Well, yeah, I can fix it. I ain't got no tools. And food, the right kind of food, is tools your body needs. Your body is already programmed to fix and heal itself if you'll give it the tools. So it's up to you to do your part to investigate it, to look into it. Give it some thought, okay? Not McDonald's every day. Not, hey, get off that path a little bit and say, "Okay, wait a minute. What did God say to eat?" And go to your Bible and start studying a little bit. Now, here's your second tip of the day. This is a good one. I'm anxious to see if anybody knows about this. In Pace, Florida, about an hour and a half. Ain't that about right? Hour and a half? Pace, Florida? Pensacola? Close? In Pace, Florida, there's an alternative health food store. Anybody ever heard of it? A guy by the name of Jim Hill. Anybody ever heard of Jim Hill? Jim Hill is an iridologist. Anybody ever heard of an iridologist? An iridologist is a man that sits you down in a seat, looks in your colored part of your eyes, takes a magnifying glass and a flashlight, and he's got two big old eyeball charts, and he look in there, and he'll make marks, and then when he gets done, he starts rattling off stuff's wrong with you. You didn't fill out no questionnaire. He didn't ask your height, your weight, your nothing. For $60, you go in there, you sit down. He looks in your eyeballs, and he starts telling you stuff there's no way in this world he could know. Now, I went to see him. There's a preacher he's dead and gone now, but a preacher in Pensacola. He said, I'd trust that guy over any doctor in this country. He said, that guy will take the place of 5 doctors. He said, that bird got 12 out of 13 things wrong with me. He said, and the only one he missed, he said, Doc, I see you got a little arthritis in your left knee. He said, no, I don't have any arthritis in my left knee. He said, guess what, about 2 months later. The guy knew it before he did. It's pretty amazing. Now, I actually enrolled. It was a school in Birmingham, Clayton College of Natural Health. I actually enrolled in the school. Don't ask me what happened. The school closed after 30-something years. Something mysteriously, out of nowhere, shut that school down. It was one of the leading natural health schools, iridology schools in the country. And I was enrolled, hadn't even started my classes yet. I was actually going to study iridology myself because it's such a niche market and hardly anybody's ever heard of it. But that's for $60. Hey, man, what do you got to lose? Go down there and go to the Naval Museum while you're there. It's one of the most fascinating things I've ever done while I was in Pensacola. So, do what you can. Now listen, I think you ought to pray. I think there's power in prayer. The Bible says talking about elders of the church, getting the elders of the church and anointing with oil and things such as that. I think there's all merit in all of that. I'm not knocking any of that at all. But you've got to do your part. You've got to do your part. You smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day, God bless you. But asking God to help you with that cough, is, you know what I'm saying? Kind of do your part. You've got to do your part. So go to the Bible, walk with the Lord to help you in your sickness. Because it's coming your way. It's coming your way. It's been in our family. I bet you every person in here has a story. So do something for yourself. Go see Dr. Hill. And I went in there and he looked in my eye. He said, I see you hurt your right shoulder. I looked at him. I didn't tell him I hurt my right shoulder. I didn't go in there like this, you know. I'd say nothing about my right shoulder. I threw my right shoulder out playing high school baseball, making long throws. I'd go playing shortstop, catching them in the hole and just gunning it, center field. I threw it out. He looked at my eyeball and told me something's wrong with my shoulder. That was amazing. So do yourself a favor. Make a trip down. What? And by the way, he's gathered all of that stuff at a health food store that's a better variety and version or whatever than what you're going to get at Walmart or whatever. So I'm saying you owe it to yourself. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? So number two, the Bible talks about Jesus being a man of sorrows. If you walk with the Lord, he understands your sorrows. A preacher said years ago, he said, you better laugh while you can because you're going to get plenty of chances to cry. That was old Billy Kelly. Anybody know Billy Kelly? Old mountain preacher? Anybody ever seen the movie Sheffy? About a circuit riding preacher. Anybody seen that? You remember the drunk in the movie? Billy Kelly, the big old drunk guy, the moonshiner? He's a preacher. He's dead and gone now. He had a camp meeting for years. Anybody know Joe Arthur? Okay, preacher out of Georgia. He took Billy Kelly's camp meeting, but Billy Kelly said that years ago. He said, you better laugh while you can because you're going to get plenty of chances to cry. So Isaiah 53:3, the Bible says he is despised. It's talking about the Lord. It says he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And whatever you're going through, he's been through. He's seen it. When Lazarus dies, I'm going to just turn there real quick, John 11. That's a couple chapters over. When Lazarus dies, and I see the time, and I'm going to try to zip through the last few of these real quick. Just bear with me. I've got to get used to this thing here. John 11, verse 32. And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And then the shortest verse in the Bible, of course, is Jesus wept, verse 35. Jesus is somebody you can go to that understands what you're going through. And if you're walking with him, you can get his help. You can talk to him. You can ask him for strength. You can ask him for help. And so, sorrows, that Jesus can help you in your sorrows if you're walking with him. If you turn away, you ain't going to be where he is to get the help you need. You got to stay with him. You got to stay with him. Number three, strength. Hit a couple of verses real quick. I got to fly. The Bible says, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 27:1. Psalm 46:1. "God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble." I could go over a lot of verses. There's a good 100 verses on having strength. But y'all know we live in a time you better have some strength about you. We're getting ready to face some stuff we probably ain't never seen. We're talking about last night. I said, I know your generation had no idea, never saw this coming. Even in my generation, the world's gone just plumb crazy. I mean, they're godless. They're heathens. They hate God. They hate this book. They hate everything we believe. They hate our country. They hate our Constitution. They hate our guns. They hate it all. And they want us in bondage. And of course, you know what's happening. You're no stranger. It's getting set up. Y'all know what's being set up right now. Going to a one world government. They want to take the United States down and be like everybody else. Okay? That's what they're after. One world government. So, he can help you with your strength. Now, got to fly. Situations. This is a pretty good one here. I like this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I want you to go to a couple words there. It said, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." There was I don't know if any of you know who David Gibbs, the Christian Law Association. Great man, great preacher, great lawyer. But he defends Christians across the country. And he and another preacher friend were traveling. They were in the car, and he said, "I'm hungry. Let's go get something to eat." And his friend said, "Well, let's pray about where to go eat." He said, man, I don't want to make this complicated. I just want something to eat, you know. And the guy said, "No, let's pray about it." So he said he just went along with it and said that they just started on a place. And they got there, and they were walking across a parking lot, and there come two truckers. And his preacher friend had a tract, and he said, "Here, I'm going to give you something to read. This will tell you how you can know where you're going when you die." And so that guy took a step back. He said, "You ain't going to believe this." He said, "Me and my buddy here, we run a route. We're this way all the time. We rerun this road multiple times a month." And he said, "We never stop and eat here. We never eat here." He said, "But we got in a conversation, and we got to talking about the life hereafter and, you know, what happens when you die. And neither one of us knew. And finally, we got so frustrated and it unnerved us so bad that we finally just both agreed that, hey, look, we're gonna shut this conversation down. And the next section, we're going to pull off and just take a break and get a bite to eat." They were distraught. No answers. And there comes the preacher and his friend. And they're right there. You know what that was? That was a divine appointment. That's what that was. In all things, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I heard this story just last week. There was a tribe in Africa. There was a missionary family. I don't know if they were native to the land or if they were from the United States or where they were from. But this tribe called a Tiki tribe showed up, and they had bad intentions. They had weapons, and they informed them, "We're getting ready to kill a whole bunch of you. We're going to wipe you all out." And the missionary said, "Well, would you maybe just let us pray. Would you just let us pray before you kill us, before you shoot us? Would you just let, reluctantly, I said, go ahead, just go ahead. And they began to pray. Guy got to praying a little bit, and he looks up, and he said, they're backing off. They're backing off. And all two or three, whatever, however many there were, they backed out of the door. Strange, man, strange. So, that same missionary a couple of years later was preaching at a church, and he told that story. He said, they came in, they had guns, they informed us they're going to kill us. But they let me pray, and he said, strangest thing ever. I'm not sure what happened. A guy stood up in the back. He said, I know what was happening. I was there. I saw it. I was there. He said, about the time you got... He said, about the time you got praying, he said, y'all were in the middle of a fire. He said, the place is on fire. And we were backing out of the house to get out of the fire. When we got outside, we looked back and the whole house was on fire. And we just said, foot, man, there ain't no sense in fooling with y'all. Y'all are done. You say, well, I don't know if I believe it. I believe it. I believe God that can fling the universe from nothing could do that too. Amen? So the Bible says, in all things, your situations. Let me just mention a couple more. Give me 5 minutes. Service. The Bible says in 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable that God would want you to serve him. It's reasonable. It's not anything unreasonable. I mean, he died for you. The least you could do is live for him. Right? That's not unreasonable. So service. And you might think, well, I'm this age, I'm that age. Listen, you can do something for God. You can do something. Excuse me. I'm talking myself out of a voice. You can do something for God. And I know there's many ministries. I looked on the pictures back here. No doubt many of you ladies, man, y'all cook food and y'all got stuff going on. But maybe pray about what God wants you to do. You know, you do a lot better if you're serving. You grow a lot more as a person if you're serving than if you're just sitting there trying to soak it up. You really do. That's one of the reasons I said I'm going to come preach. It'll help me. If it don't help y'all, it's going to help me. Amen. I hope you get something. But it is helping me, I can tell you that. So service. There was a plaque in our kitchen growing up. My mom had. Some of y'all got the same plaque, maybe. It says only one lie will soon be passed. Anybody finish it for me? Only what's done for Christ will last. Everything else you do in life is going to burn up. Going to burn up. Your bass boat, I know you like it, but it's going to burn up. Okay? Nothing wrong with having fun. You can have stuff. Last two things I'm going to just mention in closing. Sin, 1 John 1:9. Hey, listen, folks. Even the best of us were sinners. We fight it every day. You see, when you got saved, only 2/3 of you got saved. Your flesh ain't saved. You're going to be carrying this body around until you get the new one that Jesus is going to give you. So you're going to fight sin and the devil to the day you die. Now, the way you can best defeat it is stay in this book, fight it like the Lord fought it. He fought it with Scripture. And if you're walking with him, only if you don't go away will you be able to do that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you call on the Lord and you ask him to forgive you, he does it that quick. That quick. You want to maintain that right relationship with him. I don't believe if you sin, and I know y'all don't either, I don't believe, well, you sinned, you did something, well, you're out. God says you're not saved, and you get right, and you're back in. And then you do something wrong, and then you're out. God don't play that way. But if you allow sin to continue in your life, and you never deal with it, and you never confess it, then what happens eventually is you lose your joy, you lose your testimony to be a witness to others, you lose your rewards in heaven. Amen? Now, and the only thing I can say about that, if you've ever been to a birthday party or you got a late notice on a wedding and they were opening gifts and you didn't get nothing, has that ever happened to anybody? and you showed up, you didn't have a gift because it's just got late notice or whatever, and they're opening a gift, what do you want to do when they're opening a gift? You want to kind of go over here. It's embarrassing. You're going to get in front of the Lord, and the Lord said, all right, roll the tape, and you're going to see what God did for you, Lord did for you on the cross, and guess what? He can say, all right, now, what you going to give me? You get some crowns? You ain't got no crowns. You ain't got nothing to give him back. You know what that's going to be? That's going to be embarrassing, brother. Embarrassing. And then you got the 1,000-year millennial reign. I tell people all the time, if this life ain't going good, you get 1,000 more year crack at it. Isn't that cool? But if you ain't done nothing on this earth, you're going to be a street sweeper during the millennial reign. So, last thing, and I just feel like I just plumb ran out of time. Salvation. I say this, then I close. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Muhammad can't help you. Buddha can't help you. None of those other people. The Pope can't help you. There's none other name under heaven given among men. You got to know Jesus to know where you're going when you die. Years ago, there was a guy who was arguing with a preacher. He was mad. And he said, it ain't my fault, but I was born. And I was born a sinner. It ain't my fault. He's mad. The preacher said, so what you're telling me is it's God's fault. That you was born a sinner. He said, that's right, man. That's right. And the preacher said, well, if it's his fault, then he ought to have to pay for it, shouldn't he? The guy said, that's right, man. The preacher said, did he pay for it? Yes, he did. He paid for it on the cross. Folks, nobody ever cared for you like Jesus. I'm not going to go through all his attributes and all the things just simply to say there's nobody like him. When Peter looked and he said, Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. And so many words, like we'd say it, he'd say, man, you're it. You're everything. There's nowhere else to go. And folks, there is nowhere else to go. I'm going to skip my last little closing parts because of the time. And let me just say this. Go to the Bible for everything. 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 Go to this book first before you go anywhere else. Ask you that question again. Will you also go away? If you go away, he's not going to have his help like you could have if you were walking with him. So I'll just bow your heads just for a minute. I apologize for going just a tad long. I had to take a few things out, and I hope that something I've done or said might have meant something to you. But in a crowd like this, a church like this, a seasoned church with a 20-year pastor, good chance that most people here say, but I want to ask you this. Could you go back to a time in your life that you're absolutely certain you knew you were lost, you knew that you couldn't save yourself, you knew the story of Jesus? Can you go back to a time in your life where you know for certain, no doubt in your mind, you can remember that you asked the Lord to save you, come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and you remember then trusting in Him to take you to heaven when you die? How many of you know for absolutely certain there's a time in your life that you were saved? Could I see your hand? You know for sure. All right, thank you. And now let me just ask this. Is there anybody here today that you've been wrestling around with this thing, maybe for days, months, years, and you come to a good church and you smile at everybody, but you're struggling with it? I tell people all the time, if you got any doubt, why struggle with it? Just fix it. The Lord ain't going to give you a hard time if you didn't know for sure you were saved and got saved all over. If you're a retread, he knows it, but he ain't going to fault you for that. But you're struggling with it. You don't really know. You don't remember a time when you ask him to come into your heart and save you. Is there anybody here today that if the Lord came back or something were to happen to you, you just ain't really sure? And I'm not going to call your name out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I ain't coming down over to where you are, nothing like that. I'll just simply pray for you. Nobody looking around, but is anybody like that? Anybody that absolutely don't know for certain they're saved? Anybody at all? Well, thank you for your honesty. I'm going to go ahead and pray and close the service, and if you want to do an invitation, I'll leave it up to my brother here. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach, and I don't know, that may have been a little long, or I hope that something that we've done today brought honor and glory to you and was a help to these people. And Lord, I ask that you could do great things with a crowd this size, and I ask that you'd speak to their hearts. Give them courage, give them wisdom. Lord, give them resolve that they're not going to go away. That it'll never be said of them, they walk no more with him. God, help them to stay in there with you. Not just to stay in there with you, but bring somebody else with them along the way. Lord, be with these people. God bless them. Be with the former pastor as he preaches somewhere else. And just thank you for saving us. Thank you for sending your son to die so that we could have eternal life. Thank you for your book and for your truth. Bless these people as they go from here and back to their homes. Bless them during the week. Lord, for everything done, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.